Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord. Honor the Lord. Magnify His name. Exalt His name. Worship Him. Just talk to Him. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how grateful you are for His love and for His kindness. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Oh, Rahasila Brahaskila Baragata Zigabondra Farako Zadila Brahasta Zizas Jebrakido Zadadina Sanda Kiparas Manta Kiparo Sabradila Karadiza Lamande Toja Brahadis Kira Baradasko. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We honor you. We magnify your name. Again, tonight we've come to look upon you. We've come to receive from you. And so, Father, we ask that you pour of your Spirit upon us afresh. We ask that you open our understanding to receive the engrafted word for the saving of the soul. We ask that you lift us up and cause us to stand in our high places. And Lord, cause us to rise up in glory, even as we bless, worship, and exalt your name. Thank you, Father, because tonight yokes will be broken. Thank you, Father, because tonight destinies will be transformed, and the encounters that makes for a shift, remarkable and tangible, they'll be granted even tonight, even as your name is glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. Tonight, we trust God for a special visitation. We trust God for a shift. We trust God for transitions to higher realms of glory. Hallelujah. The Bible said we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. And He said we are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. And so I believe tonight, as we behold Him, we will move from one level of glory to another level of glory by the Spirit of God. Amen. We are honored this evening to have with us a very special person. Of course, everybody here is excellent. Everybody here is special. But the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. She's a mother, and she's a blessing to the body of Christ. She's visited us once, and tonight we have the privilege of having her again. Can we please celebrate Jesus for the woman of God, Ambassador Mrs. Nonye Rajis. Thank you so much for coming. Mama, we are honored to have you. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because of our time, I'll go straight to the word. I want to be sharing with us tonight on a very sensitive subject, and I titled it The Anointing. Hallelujah. You are not excited. The anointing of the Spirit. Oh, dear Lord. Maybe when I finish sharing, you will be excited. Perhaps you've not taken time to study the subject. And so I'll share with us this evening, and I trust the Lord to open our understanding. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible said, from the days of thy youth, he said, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. When truth comes, when light comes, when illumination comes, of necessity there will be salvation. And so we go from one level of liberty to another level of liberty as we receive the truth of God's word. And tonight, as we receive this word, I believe we will move from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. And so this will be a two-part teaching. Tonight will be an introduction, so I will take time to explain the subject, and then we'll complete it on Tuesday, where we'll not just teach but also minister in the anointing. It doesn't mean we'll not minister tonight, praise God. But I want to focus more on elaborately explaining the subject so you would know it and you'll be able to apply it in your everyday living. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's important to note that God wants to walk with us and He wants to walk through us. On account of His name and the excellency of His being, He doesn't need anyone to be God. In fact, the name itself suggests it. He is the self-existing one or the existent one. He doesn't need anyone to be who He is, but everyone needs Him to be what they are. Hallelujah. But His love compels Him to want to walk with us. Not because He's limited, but because He wants to share with us and allow us to participate in the experience of the beloved. Hallelujah. However, it's important to also note that God cannot walk with you and through you except as God, first of all, has walked for you and walked in you. And so the reason God is able to walk with us and through us is because God has already walked for us and in us. Hallelujah. And so this teaching tonight will major on the things that God has done for us and on the things that God is doing in us. And on the strength of our apprehension, we will begin to cooperate with God as He walks through us and walks with us. No one who believes in God should be a mediocre. The Bible speaking, and He made it clear that we are a people of signs and wonders. In Mark chapter 16, from verse 17, He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And so we are a people of signs. And He went further to say, in My name shall they cast out devils. He said, they shall speak with new tongues. He said, if they shall tread upon scorpions and serpents, it shall by no means hurt them. If they shall drink any deadly thing, they shall not be hurt. And He said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So we are a people of wonders. We are of signs, and we are of wonders. But this will not be a possibility except as the anointing walks in and through us. If the anointing is not at work, everything the scripture says will be a theory that cannot be proven or verified. And so it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes it possible for us to manifestly live out our lives as a sign and as a wonder. And if this is the case, then nobody is too small to be a sign and a wonder. Because it's not your physical stature that makes you a sign and a wonder. It is not your pedigree in the natural that makes you a sign and a wonder. It's not your background that makes you a sign and a wonder. It's not your nationality that makes you a sign and a wonder. It's the operation of the anointing of God on your life that makes you a sign and a wonder. So it doesn't matter if you are from Kenya, from Zimbabwe, from Nigeria, or from the United Kingdom. All of that counts for nothing. So long as the anointing is at work in your life, you become a sign and a wonder. And so what I'll be sharing tonight is not for a selected few. It's for every one of us sitting here tonight. And so tell yourself very quickly, I am a sign and I am a wonder. I am a wonder to my generation, and I am a wonder to my world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so let's go into the scriptures very quickly. Before I begin to deal with the subject, I want us to know that I'll be dealing with it from the New Testament perspective. And I'll explain that. It's not an attempt to exonerate the Old Testament. Truth is one. It just depends on the perspective you are viewing it from. But the reason I'll be looking at it from the New Testament perspective, I'll also explain to you before I go further. It's important for you to note something. Okay, let's read the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 6 to verse 11. Let's read the scripture. Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth, and he decided to make a contrast between the operation of the Spirit in the Old Testament and the operation of the Spirit in the New Testament. And it's a very boisterous contrast, because there were five things Paul contrasted, and I'll be outlining them for us. But let's read the scripture. He said, who also, speaking about God now, hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. He said, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Verse 7. He said, but if the ministration of death, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was also done away with. Go further. He said, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Next verse. He said, for the ministration of condemnation be of glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, there's a contrast going on here, and I will pick out the point that this great apostle of God was making. Go further. He said, for even that which was made glorious has no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. Go further. He said, for if that which is done away with was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Jump to verse 14 and 15 quickly. He said, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. Go further. Verse 15. He said, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, he said, the veil is upon their hearts. Paul was making a contrast between the operation of the Spirit in the Old Testament and the operation of the Spirit in the New Testament. And five things Paul outlined were, number one, that the operation in the Old Testament resulted in death. And the reason is simple. They could not meet the standard of God. And so every time they tried, they failed. However, he said the operation of the Spirit in the New Testament is an operation of life. And so in the New Testament, you are not the one trying to meet God's standard. God is the one working on your inside, making you become the expression of his standard. So this is a comparison between death and life. Number two, he said the ministration of the Spirit in the Old Testament resulted in condemnation because they were given laws that they never kept. And even if they attempted to, they could never have kept it. He said, however, the operation of the Spirit in the New Testament is unto righteousness. Because in the New Testament, instead of giving you a law that qualifies you, in the New Testament you are already qualified and you are made a partaker, so you live out the law, not as a standard for your acceptance and approval, but as a culture that you now live out because you have become a part of a tribe. And so one results in condemnation because you need to keep it in order to be approved. The other is righteousness because you are approved on the strength of the finished works of Christ. And because Christ is now the one walking on your inside, you are able to live him out. And so the law becomes your culture and your lifestyle. Number three, he said the operation in the Old Testament are dead letters. What was sent to them were scrolls. But the operation in the New Testament is not just written letters. It's not scrolls that were sent to us. It's a spirit that was sent to us from heaven. Why Moses descended from the Sinai mountain in the Old Testament, he came with scrolls. But when the Holy Ghost descended in the New Testament, he didn't come with scrolls. He became the law written on their hearts. And so why one is a letter that killeth, the other is a spirit that brings liberty. And he went further again to say that in the Old Testament context, this glory fades away. However, in the New Testament, he said the glory excels. And so when you meet a man operating by this new mechanism, he is more glorious than he was yesterday. We don't diminish in excellency. We rather go forward and advance in excellency. Because what is at work in us does not finish. It rather increases. Are we together? I'm setting this foundation so you will understand the mechanism of the anointing, especially for the believer in the New Testament context. And finally, he said the operation in the Old Testament, it veils. And so the more they read, the more confused they become. The more they study, the more confused they become. Up until today, the scribes and the Pharisees are still waiting for the Messiah. Meanwhile, the Messiah has come. He has been crucified. He has been buried. He has risen from the dead. But because they are blinded, they are still waiting for the Messiah to come until rapture will happen. And so they trim their beards because your credential is actually the length. The length of your beards is a factor. And so they comb it. And they are reading and waiting for the Messiah to come. But when you turn to the Lord, the Bible says something happens. It says the veil is removed. And so we don't just study to know. We know, so we research. That's why he said the Berean Christians were more noble than those in Thessalonica. He said when they heard Paul, they went to search to see if the things said were so. So we are not confused. We are not blinded. We see these things because the Lord reveals them to us. Hallelujah. And so it's important for you to understand the subject of the anointing from the New Testament perspective, because in the New Testament, the operation of the anointing is about life, not death. In the New Testament context, the operation of the anointing is about righteousness, not condemnation. In the New Testament, the operation of the anointing is about spirit life, not study and textbook knowledge. In the New Testament context, the operation of the anointing is about an excelling glory, not that thing that fades away. There are people today who tell you, I was powerful yesterday. There is no such thing as I was powerful yesterday. We are powerful always, and we become even more powerful. I'm talking to you now, I've ministered twice today already. But there is something that causes you to excel. And so you don't diminish, you excel. And so when that anointing is at work in your life, you don't think about upward, downward motion. You don't think about forward, backward. No, it has to impact your psyche. It has to impact your consciousness. That this thing, there is no up and down. It's up and up only. This thing, there is no forward and backward. It is forward and upward only. See, there are many persons that, even though God is doing a mighty thing with them, they are saying, well, we don't know how it will end. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow. There's no such thing as tomorrow. See, we are of the excelling glory. We go forward and upward. Because there's a pessimistic mentality that people carry that limits the operation of the Holy Ghost on their inside. Because they don't know that they are of the New Testament context. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then this operation opens you up to understand. There are persons who come, they say, these things are difficult. These things cannot be understood. See, we have the ability to understand. Nothing is hard for us. We know. And we don't know just because we are intelligent with a high IQ. We know because there's a spirit of revelation on our inside. And so anything they bring to you, you are not of the race or of the tribe that feel, I can do some, I can't do others. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He understands how the anointing works in the New Testament. If it is difficult, we'll understand it. If it is simple, we'll understand it. If it is hard, we'll still understand it. There's no such thing as we are confused, we are stranded. We don't know how to be stranded. When we get there, it will be done. See, many times you are going somewhere to represent either an institution or to represent a family or to represent a ministry. Until you climb the podium, you don't know what to say. But you know there's an anointing. He said, when you are about to speak, don't bother what you will say. He said, open your mouth and I will fill it with words. We have the right words because we know the veil has been removed. Look, what God wants to do with you, bro, you will prepare. But I assure you, you will be shocked when you start. You will be shocked. On Wednesday, I'll be in Ghana. I'll minister every day. On Saturday, I'll be in Manchester. I'll minister every day. And then I'll return straight to Anambra on Wednesday next week. And I'll minister into Thursday. And I'll leave Anambra straight to Zambia. And minister again until another Wednesday. And I'll return straight to Lagos. And minister in Lagos. And I'll return here and minister on Sunday. How shall these things be? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. We have studied. Make no mistakes about it. But there is no study you will do that will suffice. Because everywhere you go to, people come with fresh expectation. They want to drink. As I'm leaving Ghana to Manchester, they don't care if I've ministered in Ghana for 4 days. As far as they are concerned, they are coming for an encounter. I have to be fresh. I have to be powerful. If I was depending on a note I wrote somewhere, my goodness. But when you show up there, as you open your spirit, then you begin to draw. You begin to draw. You begin to draw. And it never finishes. The more you draw, the more you are supplied. The more you draw, the more you are supplied. Because we have gained access into that realm. That's why he said, when we turn to the Lord, he said, the Lord removes the veil. And he said, the Lord is that spirit. And he said, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is access. There is liberty. And he said, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are metamorphosed. See, even you, sometimes you are exhausted. Naturally, you feel you cannot perform. And then you show up. And suddenly, he makes you understand you are drawing from a river. He said, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. He said, the tributaries make it glad the cities of God. Jesus said, out of their bellies shall flow not cups of waters, not bowls of water. He said, rivers of living waters. It's not one river that flows from me. It's not two rivers that flow from me. It's many rivers. Rivers, ha! Rivers of living waters. Out of my
my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. So out of my belly flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Sit down for a moment. Can you work on this sound? I'm not feeling myself. See, I need vibrations. Vibrations. I need vibrations. You know, these walls, they are energies. As I'm talking it, it's not only touching you, it's touching me too. I need to feel myself, because there's a point where I will leap from here. Like a mist. You know the way smoke, it rises like a mist. You will pour into the heavens. Work on this thing quickly, quickly. Don't choke me. Hey! See, something will happen in this generation. We will dwarf everything Allen did. We will dwarf everything we Biggleswood did. We will dwarf everything Captain Kuman did. Not because we are competing, because the glory excels. If Captain Kuman walked into a building and people fell down, when we walk, they will not fall. The dead will rise. Because it's an excelling glory. We all with open faces, beholding us in the glass, the glory of the Lord, we have changed. We have changed. We have changed from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the living God. Rivers of living waters, out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Here, see, when we come for meeting, you won't need a pastor. Somebody will walk up to you and shake you, and you will be drunk for 3 days. You will go home, you will stagger. Because he shook you. It's the weight of glory that is coming. I prophesy over someone. Dimensions of the anointing that has never been seen. They rest upon you from tonight. Amaro Beraki da Takoria Barakatia Satash Kabona Barako Seda Omarete Pepatonisa Paras. See, hear this. When I read that this anointing is an excelling glory, I was afraid. Do you know what the men of old did? Go on YouTube and type Jack Cole. You will be afraid. Somebody comes with cancer and the guy holds it. Before he says in the name of Jesus, he removes the cancer. Cancer, he removes it. A new skin, you will see fresh skin like a baby skin. Before he said, Jesus, here is the cancer, take it. Take it, that's Jacob. You find Allen, they brought a child that didn't have bones. The legs were like rubber. In the name of Jesus, he dropped the child on the ground and he started walking. And the Bible said, the anointing is an excelling glory. That means what Allen did was a rehearsal. What Jacob did was a rehearsal. Because you don't need to be an evangelist. You don't need to be a prophet. Men will walk dimensions. Terrible, terrible, terrible dimensions. And I prophesy over you. You will not only hear about it. You will walk in it by the Spirit. Rivers of living water. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. My God, I can sense the moon, the waters are already being stirred. The waters. Somebody will suddenly begin to sense a fire on your hand, and it will walk through your body. like electric current. You have been summoned into an anointing to work special miracles on ground, online. Whoever that one is, that God is bringing an anointing upon for special dimensions, special manifestations, special grace, special unction by the Spirit. Epakatakoria, Sagas Katena, Arigano Sagatatia, Barato Sagatahi. Take that unction now. Maro Ketekayato, Avevayanda Durata, Amara Kaite, Adonas, Pararato, Morakaya, Rinako Nefatira, Baya. Thank you, Father. Help them who are under the anointing. The era we are coming into, people will rush to church. Do you know the way the sick rush to the hospital? We are coming to that point where they will rush sick people to church and you won't even need to be there to pray. See, that's why we need to build a facility. See, when you settle on an altar and you start building the presence of God, angelic activities begin to build there. Not this event center you go, they do wedding tomorrow. You will generate something that will rest there. They will bring the dead and keep it. Nobody needs to be in church. Even the building is sanctified. Even the building. When you enter the building, the unction resident in the building can command the dead to come back to life. I prophesy over someone dimensions that have not been seen. Walk into it by the Spirit. Marakoba Shabeta, pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Ebakata Satikapa, Vedekarano Sadagaja. Out of my belly, the flow rivers, rivers of living waters, hear me the ear. Out of my belly, the flow rivers, rivers of living waters, hear, hear, hear. Oh, there's a violent energy entering here. I see something like a whirlwind. It's the wind of the Spirit. It's that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they gathered together in one accord, and suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it said cloven tongues as of fire was resident upon them. I release that wind of the Spirit now. Barato, ebe barata kasiya takabash, zakatiano paragate, berak. Rivers of living water, hear, hear, hear. Out of my belly, flow rivers. Rivers of living water, hear, hear, hear. Sit down if you can. Let me manage time. My God, I've not started. There is a fire being kindled. A fire. There's a furnace. A furnace. Help the brother. There's a furnace. I sense an energy. Marato Pekatia is the spirit of the lion. Men that carry graces to war. To war. He said, the Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. The Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. The hands that fight and the fingers that war. The warrior's garment by the Spirit, Mate Kavaros, not the one that saw war, but the one David came with from the wilderness. Imarade Ariamanakai, Emerakatano Shakatakadia, Ebate Kapanosa. Take that grace by the Holy Ghost. Ay 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 Rapido Saragate. You are not ordinary. You and your children, you are for signs and for wonders. You are for signs. You are for wonders. You are for signs. You are for wonders. Thank you, Father. Please sit down if you can. Sit down. Dregadina onda, baronzoro para asta gradini sangratakos, ligra tarodonos taradia sapa, landra kira, bararo stondra talikaziza, arodonda shadia tanagadu, aradina sandakaba, regadino saragate, sazona tanagata. A tribe is rising that walks in power, that walks in glory, and again the glory of the Lord shall be seen as the waters cover the sea. The reproach upon the church will be rolled away by the emergence of this warrior tribe. A tribe is coming. It's coming from the wilderness. From the wilderness, a glory is coming. For out of death shall light emerge. For out of darkness shall light be called forth. A race cometh. The race that slays the giants. Fire. You that is descending here, most of you will go out of this place. You will lay your hands on your loved ones that are sick. The sickness will vanish. You will speak over your business and the doors will open. You will step into places and you will come with a cloud, and the heavens will literally superimpose on not just systems but on territories, because the dimension of a race is about to emerge. Carriers of the glory that can establish the atmosphere of the heavens on the face of the earth, because this is the time, this is the era, but it's by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I prophesy over you the grace that takes over. That grace comes upon you now. It comes upon you now. Mangra tavakatia de la gasa bragda volagadina sada trakarida agrosta bragadinas barakado stagdabi. The gas cadina paradosto lastra varastai. Hear this. Before now, most of us, we've been praying and struggling to manifest the anointing. But an encounter will happen to you, and you will no longer be struggling to manifest the anointing. You will now start struggling to retain it. You will need wisdom to retain it. You will walk into a bank, all your colleagues will be slain. You will enter a court and the judge will fall under the anointing. You will start requiring grace to be able to manage and to guard the oppression of the anointing, because an overflow dimension is coming upon you. Receive that dimension now. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down for a moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. My God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Somebody, you have carried the spirit of heaviness for over 6 months now. It's so heavy on you. Even your bones, they ache so badly. That weight is lifted now. You are somewhere on this row. That weight is lifted. That weight upon you is lifted. Is lifted. Demonic bodies have been lifted. You came here with a blood condition. Your blood is being cleansed. Your blood is being cleansed. Your blood is being cleansed. Organ infections that have defied prayers, defied all kinds of medication. By the Spirit, there are organ transplants taking place now. Receive a brand new kidney. Receive a brand new liver. Receive a brand new lungs by the Holy Ghost. That healing you have trusted God for, receive it now. Every arthritis pain on the back, on the neck, on the legs, by the Holy Ghost, I decree now, those pains are gone. The chains are broken. Unexplainable tumors, cancer, cancer of the spine, cancer of the spleen, cancer of the lungs, all forms of cancers of the throat, of the eye, I command those growths, dematerialize now. Dematerialize now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My God. Somebody's eyes just open. There's an activation going on. Activations. Spiritual activations. And as it happens in the spirit, it happens in the natural. I release that grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Please sit down. Let's try again. I'm about to introduce the subject. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I had a lot of things to teach tonight. I wonder if God will help us. Maybe I'll just read scriptures and explain so we can manage because of the time. I don't want to come back again to start from here. Apostle Lawa and his wife, good to have you. You're welcome. What is the anointing? I'll just explain scriptures so we can cover ground. If I release my spirit, we can't go forward. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I want to show us the component of the anointing. The word anointed simply means to be smeared upon. However, it's important to understand the component of the anointing. And like I said, from a New Testament context. So you know how to interact with it and deploy it in the course of service. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with. So Jesus was anointed with. This is the anointing. The Holy Ghost and power. And so the constituent or the component of the anointing is a person and his life force. The anointing is not just the life force that effuses from the Holy Ghost. Power is one of it. Wisdom is one of it. Favor is another. But over and above the life force that comes from the Holy Ghost, his person is the first component of the anointing. He is the anointing. The anointing is a person and the life force that overflows from that person. And so in this scripture, the Bible reveals to us that the person who is the anointing is the Holy Ghost.
And one of the life force of the Holy Ghost was picked out here as power. And so when we speak about Christ, we are talking about the anointed one and his anointing. So Christ is the one anointed. But what Christ was anointed with is what the Bible tells us here. That is the Holy Ghost and his life force. Are we together? The person of the Holy Ghost is not smeared upon you. He lives on your inside. This is why you have the anointing within and the anointing upon. The anointing within is not a rub off. It's a person dwelling on your inside. And so the emphasis of the anointing within is relationship and transformation. This is the vital and cardinal addition and modification that was done to the anointing that distinguishes it from that which was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the fundamental anointing is the anointing upon. So it is the life force of the Holy Ghost that comes upon them. So a man can be anointed and yet be godless. But in the New Testament context, God expects that the anointed man will also have a relationship with him that triggers unto transformation. And so in 1 John chapter 1 verse 27, he said you have an anointing, an unction from God. And he said that unction is in you. And he said that unction teaches you. You need no man to teach you. He said for he teaches. He teaches. He's using an adjective to qualify a person. He teaches you all things. Because there is a person on your inside. That person is what made it possible for you to be saved. Because when he came, he brought the life of God into your spirit. That person is what makes it possible for you to know God. Because he brings you the experiential knowledge of God. That person is what makes it possible for you to ever be transformed. Because beyond the laws that you try to keep, there is a protocol working on your inside. The people of the Old Testament tried to keep laws they never kept. But in the New Testament, those laws are our culture. Because as we become like God, naturally we operate from the standard of God. But it is possible because that person brought us that economy and is dwelling on our inside. But our emphasis tonight is not the anointing within, it's the anointing upon, which is the life force of the Holy Spirit. While the anointing within is about relationship and transformation, the anointing upon is about service. If you don't have it, you can't do the biddings of God. And if you have it, it doesn't matter your foundation. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your age. Because you are spending from another resource. And so in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. What do you see there? Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. You too shall receive what? The Holy Ghost and power. And he said, you shall be witnesses. When the anointing upon comes, it confers upon you the ability to do the works of God. There are many persons who want to preach and they are wondering that their academic background does not support them. If you are educated, that's fine. But what you need to do the works of God is not a certificate gotten from Harvard. They don't teach God there. It's a spirit that imparts the knowledge of God. There are many persons who want to teach or to do the works of God, and they say, sorry, I'm shy. I used to be so shy and timid. Up to date, if I'm not operating under the anointing, I can't even look at my workers in the face. If somebody's talking to me, I put my face somewhere, I'm looking down, I'm looking somewhere. But when the anointing comes upon you, it makes you a lion. You can stand before a million persons and you are talking as if you are not seeing anybody. You can address a president, you can address a senator, you can address anybody, and you don't even know what they are thinking or what they think they are, because you are talking from the realm of God. Because that anointing is what empowers you to do the work of God. If you will only walk with that anointing that is upon your life, you will see how your limitations will vanish. Most of the mighty orators you see today preaching the word of God, like Moses, they didn't have the capacity to speak. It is by the anointing that they speak. You hear some people talk, you say, my God, this guy is intelligent. It's not intelligence. Call a professor to come and teach. And then you will know the difference between the anointing and reading a book. You will be amazed how he will be stranded with the Bible. He will read it. The English is clear. He can read New Living Translation. But he cannot communicate the counsel of God, except if an anointing is upon his life. And so the emphasis of this teaching at this point is to let you know that your limitation is not a limitation. Because even your natural advantage is not necessary. It takes the ability of God to do the works of God. And that ability of God on your life that makes it possible for you to do the works of God is what we call the anointing. There are three vital things you need to know about the anointing upon. Number one, the anointing upon operates in different degrees. Our operation of the anointing upon is not the same. The anointing within does not increase because he's a person, but the anointing upon increases. The anointing upon is in varying degrees. If you don't know this, you will receive that anointing and relax and say, after all, me too, I'm anointed. Anointing within, yes, we are all equally anointed because it's the same person. But anointing upon, no, they are levels. They are degrees. And what I'll be teaching in the next time I'm dealing with the subject is how to stare and culture the anointing so that you can grow in the degrees of the anointing. There are different degrees to the operations of the anointing. If you study Ezekiel 47 from verse 1 to verse 5, the man of God was carried to a place by the Spirit and he saw water flowing from the eastern gate of the temple. And he said 1,000 cubits was measured and poured forth, and it was at his ankle. He said another 1,000 cubits was poured forth, it was at his knee. 1,000 cubits was poured again, it was at his waist. 1,000 cubits was poured again, it was at his neck. And then another 1,000 cubits was poured, and he said it's enough for him to swim. There are those who are operating in the anointing as though they are swimming. When they crack joke, power will move. When they are serious, power will move. When they pray, power will move. When they don't pray, power will move. They are swimming in the anointing. Anything they do carries the signature of power. But there's somebody else who is at the ankle level. He will need 3 days dry fast to be able to move the operate in the anointing. He will need to meditate on scripture or watch somebody else who is anointed. As he's watching it, his soul is stirred. Now that his soul is stirred, he steps into an overflow and he manifests. If I'm coming for a healing service, I can go and watch some of the fathers of faith who operate in the anointing. As I'm watching and watching and watching, my soul begins to burn. My soul begins to burn. And after a while, cancer becomes like this to me. If I see somebody who carries a crutch, I'm eager to collect it because I have been stirred. I have been stirred, but I'm still growing it. Whereas somebody else wakes up from sleep and it's not just operating faith and revelation now. There's a dimension of revelation of the word that you can apply through faith. But there's a dimension of an oil that you spend from. That oil is in degrees. It's in degrees. And every Christian who understands the importance of the anointing will culture the anointing, stir the anointing so that it grows in the degree of the operation. In Psalm 92 verse 10, it said, my horn has thou exalted as the horn of the unicorn. It said, for you have anointed me with fresh oil. Every time your degree of operation increases, there is a fresh oil. There is a fresh oil. In Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, the apostles were anointed when the Holy Ghost came upon them. In Acts chapter 4, verse 30 and 33, they were anointed again. And so the anointing upon, it grows. There are levels, there are depths, and there are degrees.
Hallelujah. And then you have the responsibility dimension of the operation. You can be operating at a high degree of the anointing, but that anointing can be limited because the anointing came to address responsibilities. And so a man who operates at the ankle level may have more manifestation than the man who operates at the neck level. If the man at the ankle level puts more responsibility on the anointing, because the anointing came to serve a purpose. If you are swimming in the anointing and all you are using the anointing for is for finances, anytime you talk about money, money will appear. People will give, people will miraculously receive gifts, receive money and all kinds of things. But if you go to the sick, where you go once in a while, you'll be stranded. Not because that anointing cannot heal the sick, but because you have not put responsibility on it and you have not trained that anointing in that operation. Are you seeing it? The light powering this microphone, the electricity, current powering this microphone, is the same current powering this light. It's the same current powering the keyboard. You don't introduce the keyboard to the current and the current is saying, I don't know what to do with sound. There's an intelligence in the current to cause sound to respond, to cause light to respond. And even this AC chilling this hall is the same current that is working. The problem many people have is that they don't put responsibility on the anointing. They stereotype themselves and say, me, I prophesy. And when the sick comes, they hands off. Jesus never operated like that. If there was need to prophesy, he prophesied. If there was need to heal the sick, he prayed for the sick and healed the sick. I am not saying people are not giving horns in different dimensions, but I'm also saying if you engage the anointing in different responsibility, the anointing will begin to speak, because the anointing came to do the works of God. Most of our brethren here who started going out for soul winning, they suddenly discovered that miracles became cheap. Just yesterday, on Friday, some of them went to a school and they just preached the word of God. They gave them 40 minutes. They preached the word of God for 20 minutes. There was no microphone. There was no keyboard. There were no choir members there to sing any song. When they were done teaching, they prayed for the sick. People with eye conditions were healed. People who were deaf, ears open. Why? Because they began to engage the anointing in the area of healing the sick. And as they kept praying for the sick and their faith was growing, the anointing was being stirred. The anointing was being stirred. And a point came, the anointing became sensitive to sick people. And they began to deal with sickness. Perhaps most of these persons before only thought the anointing they had was to preach. But now that they go out and they see the sick and they can't escape, they must pray. When I started traveling, that was when I knew the diversity nature of the anointing. Because you can go to a place, you preach powerfully, people fall down. When you finish and you want to escape, they now tell you, sir, there's somebody here who can't see. We thank God for the powerful word. We thank God for the people that fell under the anointing. But the blind don't fall. The eye needs to open. Sometimes as you finish, people fall down. They are crying. They are running. The whole hall is in chaos. You say, the Lord is touching somebody, and somebody will run. They will pursue and catch. The other time I went for a meeting somewhere, somebody fell under the anointing and was vibrating for 28 hours. I finished ministering that night. I came the next morning, the person was still vibrating. I came back for evening session, the person was still vibrating. Till service finished, we left. Even when I pray, Lord, calm down, calm. People will run, they will catch them. When you finish, somebody will now be coming like this with a staff, because his spine, one of his bones shifted. If you don't begin to direct the anointing also to sickness, you will discover that the anointing is there, but the manifestation is dwarfed. And so the second thing you need to know about the anointing upon is that that anointing responds to challenges. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And Jesus entered diverse dimensions of the operation. He didn't say he anointed me to preach only. He said, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Any dimension you want to see, put the anointing to work. The anointing has ingrained within the intelligence to deal with the crisis of man. And so the second thing about the anointing upon is that it is not sensitive to people, it is sensitive to problem, because it came to solve problems. And if you will put problems on that anointing, over time the anointing will begin to work. You are not only anointed to preach, you are also anointed to make a lot of money. You are not only anointed to make money, you are also anointed to prophesy. You are not only anointed to prophesy, you are also anointed to heal the sick. He said, go out. And he said, you will see signs and wonders. Signs can be in the area of healing, it can be in the area of prophecy, it can be in the area of finances, it can even be in the area of favor. Because as I'll be sharing with us now, when the anointing comes upon you, people are wasting their time when they fight you. The more they fight you, the bigger you become. Every attack they launch on you becomes an unsolicited publicity. I know it firsthand. If you accept you are not anointed, you can't go down. See, if you go down, it's a shock. When Saul was killed, David was surprised. How did he die as though he was not anointed? Because it's a wonder for an anointed man to go down. They don't go down. Anything they touch becomes a weapon. And David began to curse mountains. He said, cursed be the mountains of Gibeah, because you held your peace in the day that the shield of the mighty fell. So was David expecting that even mountains will stand up to fight for Saul? Yes. If mountain is the only thing that is there, the mountain will fight. Anything present can rise to the defense of an anointed man. He said in Psalm 105 verse 15, he gave a law in the spirit. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. There's a law. You can't touch us. Even if you try to touch us, you are only helping us. The area where we are not focusing on, that's what you are bringing light onto. I prophesy over someone. Because the anointing of God is on your life, you will never go down. Number three, the anointing is sensitive to offices. There is a dimension of the anointing you operate on because of the office that you are called into. Why, in the case of responsibility, it is your choice. In the case of offices, you can't choose it. It's the office that chooses you. He said in Ephesians 4:11, to some he gave to be an apostle, to give to be apostles. To some he gave to be prophets. To some he gave to be evangelists. To some he gave to be pastors and teachers. He didn't give everybody. And he went further to say, for the perfecting of the saints. So it's not all the saints that are prophets. It's not all the saints that are apostles. It's not all the saints that are evangelists. It's not all the saints that are pastors and teachers. And so there's a specific anointing that makes it possible for somebody to operate as a prophet. That's why all of us can prophesy, but a prophet does beyond prophesying. There are times when a prophet shows up and he becomes a judge. There are times when a prophet shows up and he becomes the seal of righteousness. When you prophesy, you can proclaim something and it happens. You can reveal something by the Spirit. But when a prophet is prophesying, beyond revealing things and proclaiming things to happen, a prophet can bring the presence of God along with his ministration. A prophet can bring the judgment of God along with his ministration, because that authority is tied to the office. In fact, the Bible said the foundation of the church is upon the apostles and the prophet. It takes an anointing to be a pioneer. You don't just wake up and pioneer a movement because you can see. You don't just wake up and pioneer a movement because you laid hands on the sick, the sick recovered. Try it. You'll be shocked. When the battles come, you will know that there's no covering in that area. Because there are things that will come to you based on the office that you operate in. It was Benihim that shared the story. Because he is sent as an evangelist to the whole world, he carried his wife too and made her an evangelist to the whole world. They went for two crusades and came back, and the wife started dying.
Because when he went there, the princes that fought him, he didn't notice they came. Because there was a shield because of that office. It's one thing to win souls and evangelize. It's another thing to be an evangelist to the nations. They are two different things. The authority level is different. The access in the spirit is different. And so if you are not called into an office, you cannot operate the anointing of that office. However, it's important to note that every one of us is anointed. If you will grow the anointing on your life, there is a degree you will take that anointing to, and your manifestation will scare even yourself. And you don't have to be an apostle to do that. If you will put responsibility on the anointing on your life, you will be shocked. The reason many people appear as though they are not anointed is because they do nothing. Daniel Kolenda was sharing, and he said, somebody came to him and was weeping. How come you are raising the dead? And I've never seen one raised. And Kolenda said, he asked him, how many dead men have you prayed for? He said, none. He said, you can't raise the dead if you don't pray for the dead. The anointing for raising the dead cannot manifest in your bedroom. How come I've never given a word of knowledge? How many people have you preached to about Christ? You don't operate word of knowledge in your bedroom. It will be there, but it will be a potential until you put it to work. There are dimensions of God waiting for believers to manifest, but they are doing nothing. They are waiting for somebody else to do it. You tell some people, come and give a charge for 5 minutes. They say, I can't do it. And they are in church for 30 years. They've never seen any supernatural thing happen in their lives because they exonerated themselves from kingdom responsibility. There's no such thing as I'm not ready. There's no such thing as I'm not qualified. It is the anointing that empowers you to do it. Go there and see what God will do through your life, and it will shock you. The anointing operates in degrees. The anointing operates based on the responsibility that is put on it, and the anointing also operates based on the office that you are called into. Whichever office the Lord calls you into, wake up to it and begin to walk in it and grow in it. There's an anointing there to make you fulfill that ministry. We are not doing what we are doing because we are special. We are not doing what we are doing because we are wise. We are doing what we are doing because we are enabled. Paul said, I have continued to this day because the Lord has helped me. The help of God that causes a man to become a wonder, you will walk in that help from today. And so the first thing is what? What the anointing is. The second thing is what? The dimensions of the operation of the anointing, which is in degrees, which is based on responsibility, and which is based on the office. I know someone who was the poor among the poor, and he had the message of giving. All he had at the time he had that message was 20 naira. And this 20 naira, somebody gifted him. And when he heard it, something was stirred. And he gave it. And under that unction, he said he will give millions. As I'm talking to you today, this guy is a crazy giver. He has given many, many, many millions. Nobody is special. People are just working with a special unction. Put work, put responsibility on that grace. You will be shocked. You who is here, who say, well, in my lineage, nobody has worked in the miraculous. Start praying for the sick. You will be shocked the kind of wonders that will start happening through your life. You will be so amazed. It will scare you. When we started these crusades, I told the leaders here, I said, don't make the mistake of thinking I will come every day with a white suit to preach. If it's 3 days, I take one day, different persons will take each day. And since we started that crusade, there is not one we've had that there are no miracles. Some people have never preached in their lives, let alone preaching on a crusade platform. They stand up, they are talking, their voice is shaking. You can feel it, that their voice is shaking out of fear. And at one point, as they are talking, the anointing will now overtake them. They will suddenly become lions. And they start roaring. And they will preach.
make altar calls, people will come give their hearts to Christ, and they will pray for the sick, and you will find healing. And some of them operating in words of knowledge, not knowing that it was always there, but responsibility was not put on it. Corporate organizations like this can help you, but you don't need a corporate institution to put responsibility on the anointing. You can wake up and tell yourself, every Saturday I'm on the street, I'm looking for the sick, I'm looking for the poor, and you begin to do it. You can face the poor and just begin to give 1,000 every Saturday. Not too long, you'll start giving 10,000 every Saturday. Not too long, you'll start giving 50,000 naira every Saturday. Not too long, you'll start giving 100,000. And you'll be shocked. You will ask yourself, where is the money coming from? It's coming from the anointing. Because this thing is an excelling glory. It doesn't finish. There's no such thing as finishing. The more you do, the more you do. The more you do, the more you do. The more you do, the more you do. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. In fact, maturity will advise you to rest. Because if it's for the anointing, it will never go down. The more you put demand on it, the more it increases. The more it increases. It's wisdom that will tell you to rest. Because what you are spending from is eternal. Are we together? Number three. Operational manifestations of the anointing. This anointing upon, they have ways they manifest. And I want to highlight a few of them very quickly. So you will know how to engage it. Because if you don't know the way they manifest, you may just be satisfied that you are singing songs. Anybody can sing. While you sing, there's a consciousness you must sustain so that your song can become a weapon. Or you'll be satisfied that you preach. Many people preach. But while you are preaching, there's a consciousness you sustain. And as you build those consciousness, they become conduits through which the anointing flows. Because if the anointing cannot flow, it will stop. It says, gather vessels. Gather not a few. The moment the vessels were filled, the oil stopped flowing. And so you have to understand the channels through which manifestations take place and begin to build definite consciousness so that the anointing can flow through them. The first of this channel is that the anointing brings beauty and visibility. The anointing. It provokes beauty and visibility. Most of you here, you tell yourself, you are listening to somebody, you say, I love this man of God with all my heart. Which man? If the anointing is off his life, you'll be shocked. What you're admiring is not the man. It's not the man. Because if you take that man's speck and compare to the natural speck that you have, he doesn't come close. You who love tall men with broad chest, you now see one short man manifesting the anointing. You say, I love this man so much. Oga, the last time we checked, you only love fair men with huge chest. This man is so short and black. It's not the man you love, it's the anointing. The anointing brings beauty. And that's why a Christian should not be intimidated. A Christian should not be depressed. See, the mirror cannot do a good job. You go and look at the mirror. You bab eyelashes. You rub. Oh God, madam, relax. That thing is secondary. When the anointing comes upon your life, even kings cannot but take attention. They cannot. See, nations will be attracted to you. Kings will be attracted to you. They won't know why. There are some persons today, one day, because they have my number, they will call 30 times. Sometimes I get tired and I pick. I say, what is it? They say, a God servant. What is it? A God servant. How is the ministry? We appreciate God for you. Thank you. Is that why you are calling me around 1 a.m.? They can't sleep. They just think of you. They are smiling. They carry money. They send to your account. They are happy that you received it. The money that is so scarce, that everybody is trying to manage. They will gather the whole money and sell to you, and they are happy. They will sew clothes and give you when you wear it. They are overjoyed. They don't know. They are excited. It's an anointing. And this anointing is not only for preacher. Everyone who is born again is anointed. The difference is that the preacher is conscious of the anointing, because he needs the anointing every day. You are not yet conscious of the anointing. That's why you think it's an eyelash that brings beauty to your life. Stir the anointing and see what happens to you. Stir the anointing and see what begins to work in your life. Anything you touch can prosper because of the anointing. Because it brings beauty and visibility. Scriptures quickly. Ezekiel 47. No. That will take me back. Exodus 25 verse 6. Quickly. Beauty and visibility. It says, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for sweet incense. Anywhere you find the anointing, there are spices and there are sweet incense. You see some anointed men, they are highly arrogant. You can literally see it. But people say, no, it's boldness. It's not arrogance. It's boldness. It's, see, people fight to defend the anointed. Paul had to come out and say, did Paul die for you? Did Apollos die for you? Focus on Jesus. Because if you call Paul, there are people who will put their clothes and start fighting. They will kill you for calling Paul's name. How dare you? They will forget their status in society. They will forget their temperance. They will... Have you not seen some men of God? Touch them online and see the army that will rise up with guns, bows, and arrows. And they are fighting. They are fighting. I told my people, I said, don't fight for me. Anybody who chooses to attack me, leave him. The Bible says, woe unto you if all men speak good of you. Don't fight for me. Focus on your walk with God. Because these battles will create bitterness. It will create anger. And many times it will make you to err. Because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. One of the signs that we are anointed is that they will keep fighting and we will keep growing. They will plan that we will fail. When we come there, we will walk past it and keep going forward. They will give target that will be crushed. When we come there, we will be going forward. Those things are good for us. They check us so that we also can manage our excesses, and so we also can be sure that God is with us. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restored my soul. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He said, thou art thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. Because the anointing is there. Even if he walks through the valley of the shadow, he doesn't fear. But over and above that, many will be attracted to you. That's why multitudes follow the anointed. When you find a man who is anointed, multitudes follow them. Say you are going to Botswana. People will go on leave from Zambia, from South Africa, from Namibia. They will travel there. Not because of the message. They want to see you. There is beauty. The anointing commands beauty. Unexplainable. There's a beauty on your inside because of the anointing. Become conscious of that beauty. Because that one breaks protocol. It does not only bring admiration. It breaks protocol. That's what the anointing does. Psalm 132 verse 17. Quickly. Elohim Adonai. You see what he said about David? He said, I have ordained a lamp. That's illumination. That's why I said it brings visibility. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. And so the guy beams. You cannot but notice him. Have you not known? They are fighting anointed men, but even if they cough, they go and check. People say they are fighting you. Everything you say, they are the ones sitting on your message night and day to cut clips to discredit you. They can't do without you. When you cough, they know. Meanwhile, you sleep, you are not aware. Because there's a lamp that is beaming. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 15, it said when Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost, it said his fame went abroad. That's why I tell people, it's not YouTube that makes people go viral. It's the anointing on your life. It's not men that make men visible. It's the anointing on your life. You can go today and preach in Shiloh. If you are not anointed, nobody will remember you. In Shiloh, 200,000 people on site, over 10 million people watching, they will forget you came. But if there is that oil on your life, even when they are sleeping, they will remember you. They can't forget that you came. Anointed men cannot be forgotten. Even the ones that failed are remembered. Because there is a visibility and a relevance that the anointing confers on people. See, don't pursue those things. They are byproducts. You are not visible because you are looking for attention. You are visible because the gospel must penetrate every quarter. And so it is the duty of the anointing to make you famous. It's the duty of the anointing to make you visible. Just grow that anointing. He said, kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. Even kings will notice you. It's the operation of the anointing. And so when you are singing, don't consider yourself to be one local singer somewhere. The question is, are you anointed? If yes, you are global. If you are doing spoken word ministry, don't consider yourself, I'm in one village. Are you anointed? If yes, you are global. If you are drawing as an artist, don't think you are a local artist. Are you anointed? You are global. Anything anointed is global and transgenerational. Because there is a power within the anointing to make visible and to make relevant. Why do you think God will tell few disciples to take the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to the uttermost part of the earth? How many were there? 500. How can 500 men without media, without aeroplane, take the gospel to the uttermost part? Because there is an amplification mechanism in the anointing. If an anointed man talks, the thing doesn't end. It continues to echo through time and through eternity. It's a power in the anointing. And anything you touch also sustains that potential. Number two, the anointing sanctifies. When you find a man who is anointed, that anointing sets him apart unto God. Genuine men who are really anointed, ask those who are close with them or close to them. They will tell you. See, sometimes the anointing moves you and causes you to separate from people, from men. There's a power in the anointing. See, the moment Jesus was anointed, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, it said that spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The anointing sets you apart. That's why in the Old Testament, you cannot be a priest unless you are anointed. In Exodus chapter 30 verse 30, it says, anoint unto me Aaron and his sons that they may minister to me in the priest's office. It will take a sanctification and a setting apart for you to carry out the office of the priesthood. And so the reason God anoints us as believers is because he is sanctifying us and setting us apart unto himself. Every man who carries the anointing of God on his life is set apart unto God. That man may pursue the things of the world, but every time that anointing is stirred, that anointing will lead him back to God, because the anointing sanctifies. Leviticus chapter 8 verse 10 and 12. I'm using the priesthood because the priesthood is actually a separation, an office that is separation unto God, but it takes the anointing. It says, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. The moment a man is anointed, that man is set apart unto God. You are God's property. You are God's own. You belong to God. Because God's anointing is in your life. That's why God can make claim over you. And the beauty of sanctification is not just the fact that you now belong to God. It's the fact that anything that touches you touches God. It's the fact that your battles are no longer your own. They are now God's. This is why in Psalm 105 verse 15, it says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. If you touch them, they will not be the ones to fight you. It is me that will fight you. When Saul was killed, and the messenger ran to lie to David that he killed him, David was shocked. He said, why are you not afraid to touch the Lord's anointed? And David went further to make a statement at another place. He said, surely you cannot touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. Every believer today is anointed. I'm not just talking about pastors and prophets. This is why you have to be careful before you touch any believer. Those of us that love gossip, slandering, your life can go backward because you touch an anointed person. You know, when we talk about the anointing, people feel it's only prophets and apostles. No way. Every New Testament believer is anointed. And so before you talk against somebody, make sure you verify the things that are said so that you don't cause God to turn against you. Because every man who is anointed is God's property. The jealousy of God is upon that man. God definitely and deliberately guards the affairs of that man's life. This is why we have assurance and audacity. Why do you think God will tell you to go and cast out devils? Are you not supposed to be hiding away from demons? But you are sanctified. You are separated. You are set apart. There is nothing they can do about it. Even if the devil becomes angry with you, he can't do nothing. Because you are sanctified. You are separated. You are set apart. You are God's property. In fact, you are God's sanctuary. God lives in you and God lives around you. He said, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Too many Christians are afraid. Some people, if they take light in the room, they are already fidgeting. They are checking what is coming. What is coming where? Do you know where you are? He said, your life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. You are living inside Christ. You have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not a victim trying to be saved. You are the light of the world. Everywhere you come to, God comes there. You are not separate from God. If you show up, God shows up. Because you are now set apart unto God. If you have this understanding, your life will change. You'll find religion everywhere. Religion. Because men don't know what the anointing is. They think the anointing is an ability they have that when they are singing, people fall down. They think the anointing is an ability they have that when they pray, people fall down. No, it's deeper than that. The anointing is like a security system around you. Things don't happen to you. You make things happen. You are guarded from the powers and the forces of this life. You are sanctified unto God. You are God's property and you belong to God. Number three. Are you learning something? You need to understand this so your paradigm will shift. It's not just about feeling fire and praying for the sick. Many persons have very weird theology. They will tell you, because I went to preach in this place, the devil came and destroyed my family. What is that? How many places will you now preach in your lifetime? If that devil makes a mistake, he's in trouble. Because your house is a guarded system. It's not even something you are praying about. It is what you know is real. It's there. And if the devil comes, he will pay for it. Even himself, we know he won't come. Have you not seen men that birds fly over their house, they fall down and die? Birds. Because they are too conscious of what they carry. If they sit in a room and they live there, a demon can't come in. If a demonized person comes in, the demon will check out. The man is not there, but he left something behind. Paul knew that he's so separated unto God that he took his clothes and sent it to cast out devils. And you say you are anointed, and the devil came to attack your house. There's something wrong with your theology or your consciousness. We are set apart. We are sanctified. Everything that belongs to us belongs to God. God is the one who guards all that pertains to us. I'm not afraid that my home will fail. No. I'm not afraid that the ministry the Lord has committed to my hands will fail. I'm not afraid. I don't have time to fear such things because God is my defense. He said, though the enemies are coming, he said, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. There is a standard against the devil perpetually in my life and in my affairs. He didn't say we prayed. He said, when the enemy comes, you are not praying. He said, the Spirit of the Lord, whom you are and whose you belong, he said, he will lift up a standard. When Paul's ship was shipwrecked, he said, yesterday, the Lord stood by me. Just yesterday, because we don't perish. We are sanctified. We belong to God. That was why the Bible said a day and a half, Paul was in the deep, in the belly of the water. Who knows how Paul survived? It's either because he became an aquatic animal or because there is a system around him that did not allow him to interact with the water. The guy was too conscious of his sanctification. I am separated unto God. I belong to God. Anything that touches me will touch God first. Because I am hid in Christ and Christ is hid in God. This theology of the devil is coming, you have to do this, do that, has shipwrecked the faith of many people. I know warfare. I know the devil is a rebellious spirit. I know the devil attacks. But I also know that we are too defended from the attacks of the devil. It's your consciousness. When Elisha was to be attacked, Gehazi was panting everywhere. And he said, don't be afraid. Sir, we have more on our side. The fact that I'm not praying and shouting is not irresponsibility. It's because of what I know. I know that there are more on our side. I don't need to pray to win. I'm living from victory. And the Bible said, Elisha never prayed against the army. Rather, he prayed, Lord, open his eyes to see. And when the eyes of Gehazi opened, he saw chariots of fire all over the place. Suddenly, he became at peace. You are guarded. You are separated unto God. The Lord is your shield and your buckler. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. He shall not come near you. He said, with your eyes, you shall see and behold the recompense of the wicked. It doesn't matter how many people are falling. We don't fall. We don't fall. When we hear that things are going wrong, we pray for others. Because we are too assured of the security system of God. You are sanctified. You are set apart. This dimension is different from purity. There are two dimensions to sanctification. There is a dimension of sanctification that implies being set apart. And there's a dimension of sanctification that implies purity. This is not necessarily purity. This is being set apart unto God. That the jealousy of God keeps you. You are sanctified. Number three, the anointing breaks yokes. 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 There's an intelligence in the anointing for breaking yokes. See, too many Christians are over yoked and overburdened. They talk to you from morning till night. It's one problem to another problem to another problem. You will never hear them talk to you about what they carry. They are conscious of their problem. They amplify their problems. They exaggerate their problem. Who told you? Those of us preaching don't have problems. We do. But we know that there is a power in us that breaks yokes. And so we can tell the devil, throw your best shot. We don't go down. If it doesn't happen now, it will definitely happen. See what the Bible said in James chapter 5 verse 14. He said, if the sick is brought to the elders, he said, all they need to do is to anoint him. The moment the anointing comes upon that sick person, he said, the yoke of sickness will break. In Isaiah 10:17, he said, the yoke shall be broken and the burden shall be lifted off your shoulders. Not because you are a prayer warrior. Is prayer good? Yes. Not because you are a giver. Is giving good? Yes. He said, but the yoke shall be broken. The burden shall be lifted off your shoulders. Why? He said, because of the anointing. See, too many persons are not conscious of this anointing. They were taught a myopic dimension of the anointing. And so they think the anointing is about shouting, Holy Ghost move, Holy Ghost move. No, the anointing is a yoke breaker. I can't remember the last time I prayed for myself. I can't remember. Anything that the devil does negatively around me, just wait for the stirring. Either I am preaching, or I'm worshiping, or I'm just ministering to the Lord. And the arsenals of the Spirit will go in the direction of that crisis and shatter it. Because the anointing of my life was designed to break yokes. How many yokes are you carrying? And for how long will you carry it? Ah, I am barren. Are you aware that you are anointed? Ah, nothing is working. Are you aware that you are anointed? I know you have announced your crisis and you have told it to the whole world. Why not focus on the anointing for a moment and see what 1 week focus on the anointing will do for you? Do you know the kind of challenges we surmount? Challenges that should make people restless. Sometimes you are sitting at home and what you need to do in 1 week is costing millions of naira. And people come to you, you are playing. When we needed to transit from our old venue to this place, we needed to spend over 20 million. Ask those around me. That was my season of rest. And because we needed to transit, we'll not change my program. Sometimes I'm tired. After praying at home, I just walk up to the secretariat and I call my friend Jude and we go and play game. When we finish, I go home and sleep. This season is time for rest. I won't stress myself. If this is a challenge, the anointing will make it happen. And from the place of rest, we're back from where we were. We're back to where we are supposed to enter. Do you know that I announced our departure from there before we got this hall? I came and told them in church, our time to leave is now. Everybody was clapping. I was just laughing. Yeah, we are going. The question is to where? We didn't know where we were going. Brother Reward was checking. Brother Wisdom, they were checking. I was at home. I just finished from the shower. I was walking out and I heard, call when women pray. See, the anointing doesn't sleep. Call them now. And I called the woman of God and I said, ah, mama, how are you doing? Say, fine. I said, we need your hall. Apostle, really? Okay, let's talk about it. I paid what I wanted to pay, sir. Because I didn't go somewhere looking for a tent to negotiate. The anointing was traveling. Instead of me moving from one part of the city to another, I was at home. The anointing was moving. And the anointing searched the city, searched the atmosphere, searched the territory, and picked out one answer, and it was the best. When we moved here, there's nobody on earth we called. Please send money. No. I told them, I don't want to touch the money for the building. We are moving to this place. We need another money for this place. You don't know the anointing. You don't know the anointing. The anointing will bring you into rest. Men who are not anointed can be sleepless. You rest. Something is working on your behalf. Something is working on your account. He said, the yoke shall be broken and the burdens lifted off your shoulders because of the anointing. I prophesy over someone. The burden you carry to this place, you are not walking out with it. I'll just pick one and then we'll go. The anointing empowers men for mighty works. Mighty works. Mighty works. Anywhere you see mighty works, know that the anointing is at work. It is the anointing that works mighty works. Hear this. Instructions can lead you to good works, but it takes the anointing to work mighty works. It said every scripture is given for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. The anointing is not unto good works. You need instruction for good works, but when the anointing comes, you enter mighty works. Mighty works are supernatural works. They are works that cannot be explained, but cannot be denied. You may not be able to tell how it is done, but you can't deny it. It will be too obvious for you to deny it. In Mark 6:2, the people looked at Jesus and said, what manner of wisdom is this? And how does this man do these mighty works? The question is, when did he start doing mighty works? Luke chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. The moment he got anointed, mighty works began to issue through his life. See the problem many have. They are anointed, but they think the anointing is for singing. They think the anointing is for preaching. They don't know that the anointing is for mighty works. See, if you want to test the veracity of the anointing on your life, dare things. Dare things. The last crusade we went for 2 weeks ago, when I finished doing what I was doing, I say, everybody that is sick, come out. Come out. And they dance. When they finish dancing, I declared, if you are sick, you are healed. A woman came out and said, there's a big lump on her back. A big lump. He said, the children have been on her neck to carry out surgery. Just like that, he said, the lump vanished. I wasn't sensing anything. I wasn't feeling anything. I didn't read any book before coming. But when I stood on that stage, I told myself, I'm not an actor. I'm an anointed man of God. And if I am anointed, mighty works must issue themselves through me. And so the way you test the anointing is to dare things. Is to dare things. If they tell you somebody is sick, tell them, bring the person. I'm anointed. If they tell you somebody's life is not working, he has applied for jobs and they are rejecting the person, tell them, bring the person. I'm anointed. The proof that I'm anointed is not that I pray loud. It's not that I preach intelligently. It's that mighty works issue themselves through me. When you are singing, be conscious of mighty works. When you are talking, be conscious of mighty works. The anointing came to work mighty works. Imagine if all of us here, who are obviously anointed, became conscious of mighty works. You will be amazed what your week will look like. You go to visit 5 families, 5 different sicknesses are healed. 2 people who did not have a job, you just spoke, and they got jobs that they never dreamt of. You are just talking and creating, talking and changing things. Your words will now become very special resource in the lives of people. A man came to me the other day and told me, I don't joke with your words, even when you are joking. Because on one occasion, he was telling me that for over 1 month, it's like cash traveled from his word. And I looked at him. I said, because you are around me, I didn't hear God. Though. The Holy Ghost didn't tell me anything. I didn't sense any anointing on my head. I said, because you are around me, before today is over, something will happen to you that will shock you. And it will change your financial fortune. The difference will be like night and day. It was not up to 3 hours. Somebody called him and gave him a contract of 20 million. You are conscious. In fact, if people tell you there is a problem, you are not afraid. It's an opportunity to manifest. It's an opportunity to manifest. The anointing is not a feeling. The anointing is the manifestation of mighty works. And so quit this motion of feelings and enter into where the real thing happens. Somebody's bone is broken. Talk to the bone. It's called mighty works. Somebody is dead. Talk to the dead. It's called mighty works. Somebody's life is not moving. Talk to his situation. It's called mighty works. Your words are given to you to create. Because the first time words were used, they were for creation. I was in the hospital with my wife the day she gave birth. And a man came to see us with his wife. They were suffering from secondary infertility. The last time the wife gave birth was 8 years ago. And when I looked at them, I now remember they are looking for a child. I didn't hear the voice of God, but I know I'm anointed. And I held his hand. I said, because you came here, by this time next year, you will carry your child. That was in February. In December, the wife had put to bed a bouncing baby boy. They didn't just get a child. They got the one they didn't have. And the guy told me, I must come and see the child. Because when I said it, he told me, I will remind you. I love it when people say they will remind me. I love it. I may take it for granted, but when you put any threat on what I am saying, I go mad. You will remind me, before that time it will happen. Become intoxicated to do the things that nobody has done in your family. Become intoxicated to do the things that nobody has done in your generation. It's called mighty works. How dare you say you can swim when you are frustrating yourself in shallow waters? Launch into the deep. Jesus showed up and they said, "We have toiled all night and found nothing." He said, "Relax, that's not a problem. Move your boat, I want to preach." How can you talk to... what do you mean? I'm walking all night. I've not found anything. You are not concerned. He said, "Relax, that's not a problem." When he finished ministering, he said, "Launch to the deep." No prayer. It's called mighty works. The question is, how did the fish know? Launch to which deep? These guys are trained fishermen. Mighty works is not a function of training, it's a function of power. I know you are a trained fisherman. I know you know the dimension of this sea, but I say launch to the deep. And when they went, he said, "Cast your net." They could not pull it out. The net broke. It's called what? Mighty works. He went to a wedding celebration with the mother. No fasting and prayer. No plan for miracle service. Their wine is finished. "Woman, why trouble me before my time?" He said, "Whatever he says to do, do." No prayer. Fill the jars with water. They filled it. No prayer. Take from it. Go and give to the governor. "Oh God, won't you test it first?" It's called mighty works. I don't need to test it. When you walk mighty works, nature respects you. Demons respect you. Men respect you. And the anointing is what runs that errand. When David showed up in the camp of the enemy, they said, Goliath has been insulting the army of God for 40 days. Nobody could confront him. David rose up. The brother said, "Look at you. I know your pride. You have come here with your ambition." See, don't let people quench your zeal by telling you are ambitious. If David was anointed at the age of 17 and became a national phenomenon, you are 30. You are still saying it's ambition. Don't allow mediocres reduce the quality of your life. What have you done that you are calling yourself ambition? In the world out there, a musician who sings secular song at the age of 15 is filling up stadia in different nations. You are here, you are 35. 200 people come for your meeting. You say, "It's ambition." What have you done? Ambition. When you have not done anything. At 17, David went to confront Goliath. The brother wanted to kill his zeal. He turned away from him and faced another direction. What will be given to the man that defeats this person? When they tell you you are ambitious, turn away from them and say, "How should I take over Brazil? How can I take over Canada? How can I take over Botswana?" Allow them to be talking, be going forward. By the time all of us become 60 years, we will revisit that subject again. Because those people calling it ambition, even at 60, they will still not be ready. It's a crab mentality. Because I can't rise, nobody will rise. Because I'm failing, everybody must fail. Did you read about Joseph? Did you read about Jesus? At the age of 12, he was in the temple for 3 days, questioning the doctors of the law, and they couldn't answer. When were you 12 years old? You were 12 years old more than 12 years ago. And we are still here saying, process. I'm not against process. But the difference between process and mediocrity is a thin line. Somebody say mighty works. The guy stood up and came to Saul. Saul said, "Please take my garment in case Goliath strike you." "I don't need your garment. I'm clothed with another garment. It's called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When Samuel poured the horn of oil on my head, I was being put a garment. And that garment is more real to me than iron." And when he showed up, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defileth the armies of the Lord?" Others were seeing a giant. David was seeing an uncircumcised Philistine. The anointing will make you see differently. They told you Abuja. Abuja is an impregnable fortress. You are seeing Abuja as the city of power. You are seeing it differently. They can call him a giant. And he can show up with his height, with 6 toes and 6 fingers, what I'm seeing is an uncircumcised Philistine. And when Goliath charged at him, the Bible said David ran towards him. He was not intimidated. He was not hiding. He was charging. He was charging because there was an anointing on his inside. When men are intimidated, you are scared. You are scared. You are scared in the spirit. See, your weapon may not be as sophisticated as theirs. Don't worry. Do you know what we will do? David told Goliath, he said, this day, he said, I will cut off your head, and the birds of the air shall feed off your flesh. Do you know the knife David used? It was not David's knife. David used Goliath's knife to destroy Goliath because of the anointing. When the enemy wants to intimidate you, you will be charging. You will be charging. And when the anointing is there, someone will stand up on your inside. His name is called the Ancient of Days. He is older than all your challenges. He is bigger than all your mountain. He is wiser than all your adversity. He is called the Ancient of Days. You need to tell yourself, I am anointed. I'm anointed. See, tell yourself, I'm not an ordinary person. When a problem confronts you, don't rush. Stand. If you need to enter the room and lock the door, go and lock the door. Tell yourself, I am anointed. I am anointed. My eyes see. My hands heal. My walls move mountain. I am anointed. I am anointed. I am anointed.
You want to speak in the Holy Ghost? You want to speak in tongues for the next 5 minutes? Stay that anointing on your inside. Ameraki na Park, Everakania Tatagash, Ariana Marakana, Baranda Kiba, Karada Gazido, Bororokate, Aziata Kazaki, Baragagagadada, Sadagadadash, Omerakaya, Ebrake Petakamano, Obebabaria Tanagata, Aya Kiba Raka. Abena Salika Taros Amaranina Kabadagadia Baka Raka. I'm anointed of the Spirit. I'm not an ordinary person. The power of God is at work in my life. Bekarado Sora Kadash. Hear this. The summarized introduction that was given about Jesus responsible for the exploits he did was in Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. That was enough. The next thing he said is was that who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing all. There is a realm for healing all. There's a realm for mighty works. And all it takes is to be anointed. And he said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. And power, I prophesy over you. Begin to walk mighty works from tonight. Begin to walk mighty works from tonight. Begin to walk mighty works from tonight.
Salos, Arakina, Daradadadina Kadak, Morondo Sabela Shadai, Oh Maraka. Fire. Thank you, Father. Hear this. Hear this. See, you need to surround yourself with the right persons. See, they will stir that anointing on your inside. Not gossipers, not fearful people, not pessimistic people. I was talking to my friend how we want to build a 7,000 cathedral in the next 2 years. Either beginning this year and finishing, depending on when we receive approval. And the guy said something. I said, what? What is going on? Pastor Patrick told me. He said, man of God, what I'm seeing is that in the next 6 months, we have to start organizing meetings in stadiums. Fear hit me. Stadiums? Why we are thinking of filling auditoriums? See, when you are stirred, you don't see from the realm of your limitation. You see from the realm of the sovereignty and the almightiness of God. And my faith moves. And I told myself, not too long from now, you will meet us at the National Stadium. I prophesy over someone the capacity for enlargement, the capacity for mighty works. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your sex. It doesn't matter your pedigree. I prophesy over you the power to begin to walk mighty works. Marakabashka, Etakabaros, Batakaparina, Ragash, 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 Ragash. Lelelele, Avika Parika Papate, Avinalo Paradianda Suta. Eloria de Valega Sona. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost. Be provoked. I cannot be normal. I cannot be ordinary. Asate Belakaite, Azizo Balaganuta. If Kaina Baragate, Ajo Dobakatia, Baruata Kibabarato. In the name of Jesus. See, you need to have understanding and also have the right understanding. At the age of 15, Kenneth Hagin was an outstanding preacher. At the age of 15. The moment he was healed, he entered into an outstanding dimension of ministry. Did you know that Paul's son, Timothy, was the bishop of Ephesus at the age of 17? I was reading E.W. Kenyon's book, and when I saw it, I said, what? Is it a boy of 17 Paul was telling to ordain bishops? In 3.5 years, Jesus began and finished his ministry. 3.5 years. Till date, the world has not recovered. Respect process, but don't be a mediocre. Don't be a mediocre. And you don't need to start an organization to raise the dead. You don't need to start an organization to open deaf ears, to open blind eyes. You have been in the real estate business for 10 years. You still have one estate. You say we are doing well. You don't know mighty works. You don't know mighty works. Something is about to begin in your life that will draw the attention of your president. It will draw the attention of the nations of the world, because the anointing comes to engender mighty works. In the name of Jesus, step into the realm of mighty works. Ojo do dabu wedo, ohi miniye, agbata kibiti. Ene do dabu wedo, ojo do dabu wedo, ohi miniye, agbata kibiti. Ene do dabu wedo, ojo do dabu wedo. Oh, see, sometimes
I want to stop, but the anointing won't let me. I'm just doing my own thing. And as I close my eyes to pray, I will start seeing nations. Flags will start appearing. Flags. Flags. And because I have seen it, I have inherited it. And so I will be there. And the nations will come calling. The nations, they come calling. They come calling. Sometimes you are just there doing your business, and God begins to show you the lands. God begins to show you the crusades. There is nothing you can do about it. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. Never limit yourself. Follow the move of the Spirit. Follow it. It will take you somewhere. I prophesy. Everything limiting you, from tonight they break. Everything stopping you, from tonight they break. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. You know, some of you, you have challenges in your body. You know what you will do? Go to your room, lock the door. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When you are charged and your body begins to boil, carry your hand, put where that pain is, and just leave it there. Your hand will cook that pain. The pain will vanish. There's a growth on your breast. Don't worry. Go and charge yourself when the anointing is dead. Carry your hand, put there, and see what happens to that growth in 3 days. You will be shocked the kind of power you will start emitting. I decree over you the power to walk mighty works. It rests upon you now. You are not ordinary. You are anointed. There are two things the Lord will do now. Number one is that God will enlarge capacities because of the anointing. Hear this. Some of you hearing me, before this month is over, nations will start calling for you and for your products. Some of you in the next 3 months, nations will start calling for you and your products. Lift your hands toward heaven. I deliberately subjected it to be able to talk to you. But now I want to release that grace. Ushers, you will help me quickly. There is a violent dimension. I'm not teaching it because I read it. I know it. By the mercies of God, I know it. My people know. If I were to accept the invitations that come to my table in 1 month alone, I have sometimes more than 100 invitations. If I were to accept it, I can't be in this country. I have had people go to open secretariat for me in the U.S. as far back as 2017. There are many nations today where people have gathered. They say, sir, give us the permission. Let's register this ministry. I say, relax. Be winning souls first. It's not a doctrine I'm teaching because I read books. This is a power that by the grace of God we have handled. I stretch hands over you. By the Spirit. There are some of you who are appointed for mighty works and for explosive dimensions. From the front to the back. From the left to the right. To the internet. To the airwaves. By the Holy Ghost. The power for enlargement. Take that power now. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. It's a violent force. Karakida kakask. Telika arakados. Barak nekira paragata. Help them. A word is coming upon you. Your capacity is being enlarged by the anointing. By the anointing. By the anointing. Let that ministry begin to grow. Let that business begin to grow. Let that family begin to grow. In the name of Jesus, take that power now. Bring them forward. So river flow. River flow. Let it alone. River
overflow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. River flow, river flow. Let eternal river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. Maravela kibaragata. Baranda kibarado danagavida. There are seven of them. The power of God. You will not fall, but you will go home. Even while you are sleeping, you will be having encounters. Inspirations will bombard you. You will need to wake up quick and start writing, creating innovations that will change the world. I release the power for enlargement. The power, take that power now. In the name of Jesus. Because of time, hear this. The second thing God is doing now is yokes and afflictions. They will fall off people's bodies now. Organ conditions, growths in the body, 40 organs, 40 tissues. In the name of Jesus, by the Spirit, right now, I command every affliction in your body. Drop in the name of Jesus. Drop in the name of Jesus. Drop in the name of Jesus. I command the yokes. Break right now. Break right now. Break right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We are out of time. Just lift your hands and let this cloud rest on you. On ground, online. Lift your hands. Somebody's horn is being exalted. The Lord is causing your feet to be planted in your high places. He's making your feet like hinds feet. Like hinds feet. You are being lifted from the dunghill. God is causing you to stand with princes. Come up here. Come up here. Afflictions of many years have just been terminated. Barrenness, plague of childlessness, tumors, growths in the body, organ infections, they have just been terminated. On ground, online, I cause affliction now. Liberty, 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 liberty. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We can't take testimonies now. You notice a change. You write it on a piece of paper. And at the back door, our team will be there. Drop it. And next week, Sunday, we'll take the testimonies. Put your phone number so we can also call again on Sunday to confirm. Because it's not an emotional thing. A mighty work is real. It can be verified scientifically. In the name of Jesus.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins, and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life.
I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.